بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى سيدنا محمد ولا أهله ومن اتبع الهدى إلى يوم التقى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. My dear most friends, respected friends and elders, we are in the days of Tashriq, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His grandification, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, over and over again. After every salah, a person revisits the greatness and the grandification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a few days before, and it will last inshallah a few days after from today. And it is also at this moment that the ummah reminds themselves of the greatest pillar of Islam, the Hajj, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed once in his life as a tribute to our forefather, a spiritual forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Not just a tribute to the individual, but a tribute and a commemoration of the sacrifice of the individual. That an individual is a name, is a person. But what made him the Khalilullah, the friend of Allah? What made Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam Dhabihullah, the one who was prepared to be sacrificed for the sake of Allah? It was not just their mere identity, but the choices that they made. So one of the greatest lessons of the Hajj itself and the season itself is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents us with an opportunity to make the correct choice, it will be that choice that will now distinguish and will now make you different between a person who is a muti', an obedient person, as per opposed to a person who was disobedient. My dear friends, it is not possible to start any khutbah, any bayan today without revisiting the issue that occurred in Mina in the last 24 to 30 hours. First of all, when a person views any incident, whether the world or the papers want to call it a tragedy, a Muslim's, an alim, a faqih's response to any tragedy and any incident is to first identify, did something similar occur in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what was the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response? In Babul Hajj, the chapter of Hajj, right in the middle, there is a similar incident, not to the extent of the current issues that occur, 100, 200, up to 1,000. But there was a loss of life because of an accident that took place on the Yawmul Arafah. And Rasulullah ﷺ was brought with that deceased individual. A number of Sahaba radiallahu anhum unanimously narrate this hadith, and we draw from the wisdom and the narration of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, who says that there was a person on the plains of Arafah. فَوَقَصَتْهُ نَاقَتُهُ. He was thrown off the back of his camel, and many people, observers say it was because of the rush of that crowd, the animal became frightened, and where many people move together, it's not just people that become excited, but animals become excited as well. Nonetheless, he was thrown off the back of that animal, he broke his neck and he passed away. Now look, our response to a current tragedy, a current situation, should be like how Rasulullah ﷺ addressed the situation when it occurred on the plains of Arafah and Mina during his time. He calls the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he tells them that you see your brother over here, you wash him bi ma'in wa sidrin. You wash him with water and you wash him with syringa or lote berry trees. That's the sunnah, that when a person now makes that water frothy, you're supposed to use some cleaning agent or something of that sort. Rasulullah himself advised that you use the leaves of the lote of the syringa tree, and that's how his ghusl was performed, when his time came. So he tells them that wash him in the normal way. ثُمَّ كَفِّنُوهُ بِثَوْبَيْهِ. Then you now put him in the same two garments that he passed away in. فَإِنِّي شَاهِدٌ, for I will testify that he will stand up on the يوم القيامة مُلَبِّيًا, making the takbir, making his labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. He will stand up on the يوم القيامة in that way, in the same place, in the same manner that he passed away. And this, my respected friends, is the greatest hedge that a mu'min, a believer, has as per compared to way the way that the rest of the world views a tragedy. The greatest sickness of people in the Western world is not a physical sickness, it's a mental sickness. The greatest issue that they have is depression, loneliness, and the fear of events or paranoia of events that may have taken place or may not have taken place. And the greatest hedge that a believer has against the issues that they have is the fact that we believe in the Akhirah, that there is something better for that person, and we believe in the hikmah, in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That beyond every event, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a greater wisdom which we may be blinded to, which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did not see at that time. Little did he know that when he responds to the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his limited vision, and even though he's a khalil, he's a nabi of Allah, in his limited vision it is the sacrificing of a son, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays that wisdom a little while later, that I will make it a feature of every member of the ummah that will come till the end of time. So Rasulullah ﷺ calms the crowd and says that you see your brother here who has passed away as a result of this tragic accident in Arafah. يَقُومُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَبِّيًا. He will stand up on the day of Qiyamah making his labbaik. And he will mention the grandification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, whilst we view it in this light, a believer, a mu'min, is never a fatalist. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, there's nothing wrong with making an analysis why in the event, in the hope that it doesn't happen in future. And this also is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ghazwa Bani al-Mustaliq. Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, Hibbu Hibbi Rasulullah, the beloved of the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu anhu's son, which inevitably makes him Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's adopted grandson, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. He confronts a person who was an enemy combatant, and as he's about to slay that person, this is of course a military expedition, it's jihad fi sabilillah, out in the path of Allah. This individual recites his kalima and says, La ilaha illallah. Nonetheless, Usama bin Zayd kills him. Rasulullah ﷺ calls Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu later on when they come back to Medina and asks him, أَقَتَلْتَ رَجُلًا قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that you killed a person saying لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu responds and says that إِنَّمَا قَالَهَا مَخَافَةً مِنِّي, that he only said this out of fear from me. He wanted to save his life. He knew that he was in a difficult position. He couldn't fight his way out of this position. So as a result, he recited the kalima, knowing that this would be his free ticket out of the battle. I'm not going to harm him after that. And as a result, I just killed him nonetheless. Rasulullah ﷺ asked him, هَلْ شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبَهُ, that did you tear open his heart and find out whether the kalima that he recited was genuine or not? Usama bin Zayd, how can I tear open a person's heart and see that whether the kalima is genuine or not? Rasulullah ﷺ carried on repeating the statement, not to necessarily make Usama bin Zayd feel bad, but to impress upon him that this is also a world of accountability as well. That there is nothing wrong in seeking that accountability. But your initial response to any tragedy, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us and says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come. And even though these ayats were regarding the military expeditions of Uhud, etc., wherein the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had sustained worldly losses in the eyes of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nonetheless says that you see this loss that you incurred, whether it was as a result of Uhud, Hunayn, other, whether it is as a result of an accident, that man falling off his camel, regardless, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, that we are going to test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُعُ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, with a bit of decrease in people, in livelihood, in livestock, in your own health. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the holy grail thereafter. And maybe the usage of the term holy grail may be more biblical, but we use it more in a contemporary context. The holy grail of you responding, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to those who are willing to be patient. And a person may say that, okay, patience should be for the families of the victims, should be for those people who observed the tragedy in Mina, or a little while earlier in the crane incident in the Haram area itself. The reality is that that tragedy, whatever tragedy occurs, is a feature of where Rasulullah SAW says, Al-mu'minuna ka-rajulin wahidin. أَوْكَ جَسَدٍ وَاحِدٍ, and the believers are like one solid body. إِنِ اشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ وَإِنِ اشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ, that if the eye of that believer pains, then it is not possible that the rest of the body can be in ease until it responds to the pain of that eye. That it doesn't consider itself to be independent. That, oh I, you're an independent feature of the body. I, Mr. Hand, or Mr. Feet, or Mr. Liver, or Mr. Heart, or Mr. Mind, will carry on doing our work in our own way, totally oblivious of the fact that you are in pain. It shouldn't be like that, and it's never like that. So it's also our musibah as well. So when we recite, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have come and to Him is our return, we will be included inside those who have made sabr, that even though that sabr may be not as intensely practiced by us, because it was nobody that we knew, nobody that we could recognize with, but nonetheless the ajr, the reward of that sabr will be ours as well. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that those people who say this, that those people no doubt later on will seek accountability and analysis, but when it happens, exercises sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the people, muhtadun, who are on guidance. Ulaika humul muhtadun, that they are on guidance. That people ask, you know, quite often we ask the question, that where is the turning point of guidance? That this guy is a naughty boy or naughty person and doesn't conform to the standards of Islam, is obviously not a obedient individual. Where is that turning point in the person wherein he now flips and he now becomes obedient? The actual visibility of that turning point is not in a number, not in an age, but in a response. That when he responds by looking at a tragedy, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he's now within the perimeters of ita'ah, hidayat and guidance. When he responds, that he responds with salah, wasta'inu bisabri wasalah, that a personal tragedy happens in his life, and regardless of his extra attire or way he conducts himself, but if his response is wasta'inu bisabri wasalah, then he will fall in the ambit of muhtadun and guidance, in the words of the kitab, in the words of the book of Allah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. So our response is not just merely one of shock, raising the eyebrows, but ista'inu bisabri wassalah, that seek help with patience and salah. Another very important point, my dear friends, related as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us in the Quran Kareem, that إِذَا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِالنَّبَئٍ, that when a transgressor comes to you with information, then فَتَبَيَّنُوا, seek an investigation on your own accord when it comes to that, when it comes to that particular event. We know very well that we are not short on enemies. Deen and Islam has never ever been short of enemies. Any haqq and any paradigm that has stood on the haqq and the truth has never been short of enemies. And it is junctures like this and occasions like this that many people who don't have the sentiments of Islam, their sentiments are more political. Their sentiments are futuristic or capitalistic or whatever it may be, but they don't really feel the pain that the ummah feels, that they take advantage of the situation. That they paint a more politicized picture, that it happened because of this and it happened because of that. The real reason that though the investigation no doubt must take place, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah Ta'ala knows best. And it does not become an occasion of a political event. It does not become an occasion that paint one group bad so that we will look and stand up more clearer and better in the face of this particular community that is now being hit down. It is not the nature of a Muslim to behave in that way, and neither is it helping a situation in any way possible. And also, living in a world of social media, there is one thing that every one of us need to understand, and one term that all of us need to become familiar with, is that all of us are digital citizens in our own way. We all digital citizens. Now, what's a common citizen and what is a digital citizen? A common citizen is a person who's expected to abide by the laws, who's expected to be a law-abiding individual in the sense of courtesy, etc. That's a brief definition of a common citizen. But then you have a digital citizen as well. A person who understands communications and the digital world and responds to it in an appropriate way. There is one stage higher than a common digital citizen, and that's a Muslim digital citizen. This MDC, this Muslim digital citizen, knows that when a picture that violates the privacy of an individual, living or deceased, comes to my phone, regardless of wherever it was sent to me and whatever angle it came from, my response to that picture is to delete it and not to now pass it on to another 1,000 members. What about the privacy of the individual who has passed away? Then it does not mean that you don't know the identity of that person, that they should not be given the due course and respect. A tragedy is not a spectacle. Whether the tragedy happens on a road and you become a rubbernecker trying to get your best view, or whether it happens 1,000 miles away and you receive it on a digital device, you will do yourself and you will do the ummah and the world a favor if you delete it and don't make a digital spectacle about it. Now this is the responsibility of the Muslim digital citizen. And all of us can play our part. And you see this device in our hand, it's a test from Allah. That's what it is. Like how everything else is a test, the pen and the paper is a test as well. Your eyes and what your mind and what you visualize on a billboard driving to and fro and work on a highway is also a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. View the device as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Pass the test that when that tragedy comes to you, that it does not become a spectacle, but rather you say your inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, but you give the living, the injured and the deceased the true respect that they deserve. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them mulabbiyan, making their labbaik on the yawmul qiyamah. And yes, indeed, the death is enviable. And we will no doubt ask our questions. What happened on roads 204 to 223? We will ask our questions. But nonetheless, we have it in our hearts that every one of them in their hajj is maqbool, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to Makkatul Mukarramah to have a hajj maqbool and mabroor as well. My dear friends, in this course of this week, the hajjis will be returning, or many of them will be returning in the course of the week from now till next Friday. What is our responsibilities and duties? That it is mentioned in many riwayat that as long as an individual is in safar before his return back home, he is still considered in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a haji until he comes back home. If you have an opportunity, rather make the opportunity to visit an individual before he comes home, get a schedule of those flights as they land, and even though you don't know one person on that flight, you would have do yourself a favor to get to that airport or wherever that person is coming from before they land home and request du'as from that person. Now you see, these are the things. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in these things should a person who wants to win a competition and run a race compete in. And this ayat here, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, was revealed regarding the vanity that people showed in the things of the dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects them. But you know what? You want to be vain in accumulating the things of this dunya, building tall, high structures that you will never ever live in, building so many rooms that you will only live for 3 or 4 years, and then it will be handed over to somebody else who they will be scratching their head, what am I going to do with this monster that my grandfather built? I can't even dispose of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that instead of all these things, in these a'mal salihah, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exert yourself. From the word nafas, to breathe. Tanafas is a race when two people have a race because they are now competing with their breath. They are mutanafisayn or mutanafisoon if it is plural. In a similar vein, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, compete in these things. You know, whilst many a khatib wanted to actually discuss something else, besides what happened in Mina, because we are in the season still of Arafah, of Mina, of Hajj, we will do ourselves a favor if we just take a moment or two to understand the farewell khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just a point or two before we complete, some take-home lessons for every one of us. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mounts Qaswa, his conveyance, on the plains of Arafah, with the Jabalur Rahma, the Mount of Mercy behind him, on the plains of Arafah, and the saddle of wood is now constructed on top of his conveyance or placed there, and he mounts and he starts that khutbah. He addresses the people in a very unique and a novel way. He asks them, that Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, what day is this? And all of them don't respond, because it was the nature of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that when Rasulullah sallam asks a question, your response should be, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. And what place is this, O my people? Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Rasulullah sallam tells them that, is this not the area of the Haram? Is this not the day of Arafah? And then he tells them, أَلَا إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ, that listen here well, that the blood amongst you, وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ, and your wealth transactions, your monetary transactions amongst yourselves, and the honor that you are supposed to confer upon one another is as sacred as this day, كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, is like, has the sanctity of the sanctity of this particular day. So what he does is that he equates something visible, something tangible, that every person will no doubt be of the same conclusion, regardless of whatever creed or background you come from, you will come to the conclusion that this Ka'batullah, this Haram, this Arafah is the most sacred place that I could ever be. He equates something which is not tangible or intangible, he equates something which is permanent to something which is temporary. Your Arafah is temporary, but dima'akum bainakum, the wealth amongst you, the honor that you are supposed to preserve amongst yourself, the honor and the rights amongst you, that's permanent. So how you value this place, value that when you come back home. And then he says, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ مِنَ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ, every matter from the days of Jahiliyyah, مَوْضُوءٌ تَحْتَ قَدَمَيْ, are beneath my feet, destroyed. Rasulullah was referring to the attitude of Jahiliyyah, reminding the Haji in his time, that tomorrow, remember he gave this khutbah in Arafah, so tomorrow would be the day of sacrifice, the day of Mina. Reminding them that when you put your blade on your camel, when you put your blade on your sacrificial animal, it is not just mere flesh, bone and blood that you are slicing through, but every matter of Jahiliyyah that weighed us down previously before Islam came, you are sacrificing the Jahiliyyah as well. And this is a perpetual, permanent lesson to every Muslim. That your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the plains of Arafah tells the Ummah that every matter of Jahiliyyah is now destroyed. What about our own inner Jahiliyyah? That when I'm outside my house, I'm a cultured individual. But when I come back inside my home, in relation to my family, my children, my wife, I'm an absolute Jahil when I speak to them. That it is now my emotional self that takes over my mental self. That when I'm here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm an angel with a double set of wings, one for flying around and the other one my spare wings. That's what I am in the masjid. But when I go back to my workplace, that those people know me as an utter jahil in the way I speak and the way I interact. That's the umurul jahiliyah. That even though they sacrifice the real jahiliyah, the real ignorance, it is up to us to put a blade on the inner jahil and the inner ignorant individual and replace it with the cultured individual of deen that Rasulullah ﷺ demanded that there be no compromise on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in these remaining days of tashriq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return the hujjaj back to their family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us benefit from their du'as and from their crying and from their suhbah and their company. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there, every one of us as well. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return to the Muslim lands, al-aman, peace, wa salama, and tranquility. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make every individual a model example of what a mu'min, of what a believer is supposed to be. And one final concluding sentence of Rasulullah ﷺ before he finished off that khutbah, فَلْيُبَلِّغُ الشَّاهِدُ عَنِّ الْغَائِبِ, that every person who is listening to the message of deen should convey this message to a person who is absent. For it is possible that a person who receives the message, أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ, might be more attentive towards it than a person who actually heard it. He won't have a higher status than him, because the person who conveyed it would be a sahabi. But it's possible that he could now take this message and dissect it in such a way that millions of people will benefit. So he tells the sahaba radiallahu anhu that deen is not something that you keep in your palm, you sit with, but you also understand the responsibility of spreading this deen to the four corners of the earth. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.